The first reading is Mark chapter 8, verses 34 to 38. It can be found on page 1012 of the Blue Church Bibles. Mark chapter 8, starting at verse 34. Then he called the crowd to him, along with his disciples, and said, "Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For whoever wants to save their life will lose it, but whoever loses their life for me and for the gospel will save it. What good is it for someone to gain the whole world yet forfeit their soul? Or what can anyone give in exchange for their soul? If anyone is ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, the Son of Man will be ashamed of them when he comes in his Father's glory with the holy angels." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Our second reading is Hebrews 12, verses 1 to 3. And you can find that on page 1210. "Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. For the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinners, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart." This is the word of the Lord.
Well, good morning, everyone. My name's Steve, and I'm a member of the church family here at St. Andrew's, and I'm going to be preaching for us from Mark chapter 8, 34 to 38. And over the past few weeks, we've been looking through these couple of chapters of chapter 7 and 8 of these chapters of Mark's Gospel, and what he's written down for us and all that Jesus has said and done. And I've been so encouraged to see all that Jesus has done, how he's taught us of our cleanliness on the inside from what our heart is like, but how Jesus does the work of forgiveness, of making us clean. And we don't do anything for that. And we saw last week with Joe how Jesus was going to make that all possible through him dying and after 3 days rising again, defeating death. And so because Jesus suffered and was rejected, died and he was raised to life, what we read next in these few verses we're going to be looking at this morning really needs to be seen as a response to all that Jesus has done for us, not what we must do to somehow either make it happen or contribute to it or earn it for ourselves. Because otherwise, as we go through our life as Christians, we'll forever be resentful of what Jesus calls for us to do. We'll always be wondering, what have we done quite enough? Have we earned God's love, mercy, and grace? And so if you don't know that, if you aren't a follower of Jesus, then what I'm going to say next maybe won't make a lot of sense. So do go back and listen to what Joe was telling us last week. It was a wonderful sermon. Do go back, because there's no bigger question in life than, are you trusting Jesus? And I think really today's sermon is just a further application of what we were seeing, how we can live in the light of all that Jesus has done. I don't know what you think about this, but I think sometimes you can split the Bible into two, not the Old and New Testament, but you can think about how sometimes the Bible's really hard to understand and it can be easy or hard to obey. And sometimes it's pretty straightforward what the Bible says, but it's just incredibly difficult to live it out. And I think we've got one of these passages today. I don't think it's too hard to understand, but it's going to take a lifetime to live out. It's a passage that uses such vivid language of dying to self, taking up crosses, gaining life. I think obeying this passage is going to be hard, and it applies to everyone. Did you see those tricky words which don't let us get out of it? The whoever's, the must, anyone, will, when. There's no room for any of us to wiggle out. We're all included in the whoever, the anyone. There's no option to do anything else. Words like when and will, these things will happen. So before we really launch into the rest of the sermon this morning, let me pray for us that we would know the good news of Jesus and know that whilst Jesus calls us to hard things, they're also good things, that Jesus came to give us life and life to the full. So let's pray together. Heavenly Father, thank you that you call each of us to you by name. And we pray, Lord, that as we listen to Jesus, help us understand, help us hear the challenge here in the words of Jesus, that all we are would be for Jesus. Father, please be glorified in Jesus and in us as your word, as you work in us by your Spirit to be faithful and obedient to your word here. Please would Jesus be more and would we become less. Amen. So our first point is Jesus has done it all, so follow him. Look down at the Bible in front of you and look what he says in verse 34. He calls the crowd and his disciples. Jesus is speaking to everyone, anyone. Everyone is invited to hear what Jesus has to say. He says, whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. It's one of the amazing things about the Christian faith is that it costs nothing, but it also costs everything. Because being rescued from our sin is through faith, through trusting Jesus. But Jesus lets us know what it's going to be like to live for him after we receive that free gift of salvation. And it's very, very costly. Jesus says, whoever wants to be my disciple, someone who follows Jesus, who's been forgiven by Jesus, a disciple must do three things. They've got to deny themselves, they've got to take up their cross, and they've got to follow Jesus. And I wonder how you feel as Jesus' words there swirl around your brain as they come in through your ears. Sounds quite hard, doesn't it? Sounds like following Jesus will be uncomfortable. And you know what? That's right. It will be hard. It will be uncomfortable. But we follow a Saviour who has gone before us. We saw with Joe last week, he has done what he commands his followers to do. Jesus has denied himself. He has literally taken up his cross. Jesus has followed his path laid out for him to go to the cross to save us from our sins. And if you're sat here this morning thinking, but Steve, this sounds more than I bargained for, then join the club. None of us like the idea of denying ourselves, not doing what to do. In fact, this stretches all the way back to Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. What did God say? They were free. They were free to eat from any tree, just not that one. They had to deny themselves in just one very small way, but they took the shortcut to glory, to be like God. They didn't follow God's good command, and just look what happened. Sin and death entered the world. Nothing good happens when we as humans do just what we want to do. But our loving Heavenly Father does want the best for us, so we can trust him in the struggle of obedience. And if there's anything that anyone with just a little bit of self-awareness knows, that none of us are perfect, no matter how stubborn or convinced we are of our rightness, we've all said sorry at least once in our lives. And since Adam and Eve, we're all sinful. None of us do what we ought to do. So it makes sense that Jesus, our loving Saviour, would lovingly command that we may need to deny ourselves, that we may need to die to what we want to do and not do what we'd really love to do and do what we find hard. And I think we really need to understand that our primary allegiance, the one we follow, is not ourselves, but Jesus. When people look at us, do they see anybody else, as they might look at anybody else in the world, or do they see Jesus people? We need to stop seeing ourselves as our own, but as Jesus's. We need to know that taking up a cross, as Jesus speaking to that crowd, would have been understood as people taking up their method of death to show a complete and utter submission to whoever decided they should die. That they were completely conquered. That they were forced to carry their method of death to their place of death. Carrying a cross in life is to be as committed and submitted to Jesus as a criminal is when they carry their cross to their death. So we need to stop clinging on to ourself being in charge, but giving all we have to Jesus. There is nothing out of bounds in our lives. We're called to an entire way of life, not picking up our cross when we feel like it or when it suits. I think it's so much more. I think it's more than just about the costliness, but our willingness to go and to follow Jesus regardless of what we're called to bear. We need to be prayerful and dependent on God's Spirit to be revealing where we aren't willing to pick up our cross. So it could be that you're going on websites that aren't honouring the Lord. To be fair, it could be any sort of website, anything that takes you away from Jesus, takes your eyes away from Jesus. For me, it's being on Twitter and catching up on sport rather than cracking on at work or spending time with my family and, you know, talking to them rather than scrolling away. Will I deny myself, pick up my cross and follow Jesus? It's been a real challenge over the last week or two as I've been writing this sermon to think about how, time and time again, I catch myself thinking, am I just doing what I want to do? Or am I doing what God would have me do? And most of the time, sadly, the answer is no. So I said, I need to say sorry to God. I need to repent. And I need to seek to do what God asks me to do. And it doesn't stop with the less helpful stuff, maybe the sinful stuff, but maybe turning away from the good things that are in danger of making the God things, the things that we love so much that we place them where God should be. So it could be that you love a particular hobby, but it might take you away from regularly meeting with your church family. So you deny yourself and come to church instead. It could be that you're saving up for something around the house. The old one's okay, but you fancy a little bit of an upgrade. But then you hear about somebody in the church family struggling with maybe the cost of living. So what do? Do you go for the less good things, so you save a bit of money, or make do with the old thing and carry on and maybe give that money away? It's costly. It's denying of yourself. It could be that you just settle down with a good cup of tea and a good book, or you're just about to binge watch your latest box set, and your phone goes, you look down, you see the name and the number. And we've all been there, we've groaned slightly, don't we? We want to do the easy thing, to ignore it, to carry on doing what we want to do. But how can we love that person ringing who might need some help? Following Jesus can be hard. Now, if you're not a Christian, then the challenge here is to first know that Jesus loves you and has died for you. Nothing you can do can earn forgiveness from God. Only Jesus can do that. And for Christians here, we need to be praying in the midst of these difficult times, these difficult decisions, that praying that God will show us how he's bringing about his good plans for us and those around us. When we obey God, when we deny ourselves, when we take up our cross and follow Jesus, our obedience is never wasted, even if no one else sees. And those examples are quite easy for me to come up with because they're things that I struggle with. But they may have struck a chord with you, they may not, I don't know. So it's well worth thinking about over the next few days and week ahead. You can be thinking through and praying through, what do I really struggle with? What do I love in life that I might struggle with if Jesus asked me to lay it down? It's worth spending time thinking about your heart motives, your desires, your sin. And it's really good when you work these things out in Christian community with church family, maybe in home groups, maybe with a prayer triplet. Because when life is raw and hurting, because we've done something costly for the Lord, they can be around you, praying for you, helping you, reminding you that when you find the Christian life hard, it doesn't mean you're necessarily doing something wrong, but that you might be just being faithful to the Lord. Christians can be around you, helping you through life's ups and downs. And we want to do it because we love Jesus more than what we might want to do. So it can be completely sold out for Jesus. We know that Jesus gives us our model. He's actually gone and done it as well. So let's follow him. And it's worth it because of what comes next in our passage. So if you're taking notes, the next point was going to be Jesus, our perspective giver. I wasn't convinced that was great, so you can cross that out and put down, by dying we live. By dying we live. We all love a good deal, don't we? Bogos, buy one, get one free, buy one, get one half price, buy now, pay later. Well, Jesus has one here for us, and it's an absolute cracker. Better than any deal, however hard you look, on Amazon or on Primark or any closing down sale. And it's what Jesus says in verses 35 to 37. It's this in a nutshell. Keep your life now and you'll lose your life for eternity. But here's the good bit. Lose your life here on earth for me and you'll keep your life for all eternity. Jim Elliot, who was a missionary in the mid-1900s, put it like this. You've probably heard it before. He is no fool who gives up what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose. We'll walk through each verse bit by bit, but here's the big picture. Our lives here on earth won't last forever. Death is the ultimate statistic, 100%, one out of one, that affects everyone. And so the big question Jesus asks is, which basket are you putting all your eggs in life? Is it yourself? Is it in something in this world? Or is it Jesus? It's the biggest question in life. Who are you looking to? And if you are trusting Jesus here today, then it's a decision we need to keep making each and every day, isn't it? It's not a one-time decision, is it? It's an everyday, keep going with Jesus. Hebrews chapter 3 says, whilst today is today, keep encouraging others to keep following Jesus. So let's have a look at what Jesus has to say. Whoever wants to save their life will lose it, but whoever loses their life for me and the gospel will save it. What good is it for someone to gain the whole world, yet forfeit their soul? Or what can anyone give in exchange for their soul? Jesus gives out some pretty simple trade-offs. The first half of 35 is to those who think that life is all there is, that there is no God. They think there's nothing else. They can do as they please, but they'll lose their life. The second half of verse 35 is to those who trust Jesus. They're described as losing their life for Jesus. Or maybe another way of describing that is taking up their cross, denying themselves and following Jesus. They will save their life. Those who deny Jesus will lose their life. Those who lose their life trusting Jesus, denying themselves, will save it. And I think it's interesting, isn't it? It's sort of what the world, as the world looks at Christians, they see themselves, they see wasting their life. Give you them anyway. Service, serving at church, giving up Sunday mornings instead of going and maybe doing some leisure activity, it looks like you're losing your life, but actually you're gaining your life in obedience to the Lord. Verse 36, what good is it for someone to gain the whole world, yet forfeit their soul? So I think it's a bit like asking a child, what would you rather, a day's worth of chocolate now, but then nothing ever, or no chocolate for a week and then a lifetime's of chocolate after? It's a silly example, but I think it's easy for most of us, isn't it? If you love chocolate, we'll deny ourselves for a week for a load more chocolate to come. And I don't think this is too far, albeit silly, from what Jesus is saying. He's saying, yeah, have the world now, but what about your eternity? What about your soul, the part of you that will go on after death, either with God in the new creation, or suffering his right anger against you, your sin and hell forever? What is your soul worth? Knowing Jesus is in heaven is a prize worth beyond value. Don't swap it for anything this world has to offer. Knowing Jesus now and forever is far, far better. And again, it's simple to understand. It's much harder to live out. And it's because I think I'm too quick to forget the greatness of God, the wonder of God, the awesome privilege and joy it will be to know God forever in this world made new, perfect, forever in the new heavens and the new earth. It's hard because we get overwhelmed with life, don't we? Everything feels so important, so urgent. And in many ways it is. But even if we live for 100 years, it's like that. It's like a click of the fingers compared to the time we have to look forward to with Jesus. Living for Jesus is hard, but it's worth it. Last week we saw the disciples didn't get this. They wanted Jesus for what they could get from him. They wanted the Romans gone and easy life. Let's not make that same mistake, but follow Jesus who he is. I mentioned earlier that quote from Jim Elliot. I'll say it again. He is no fool who gives what he cannot keep to gain that which he cannot lose. But there's a second half to the quote, which I didn't realise until I was looking up the quote, and it goes on. Wherever you are, be all there. Live to the hilt every situation you believe to be the will of God. So wherever you are, wherever you live, be all there. Be there for Jesus. Hold nothing back. Live every moment for Jesus. And Jim Elliot lived this out wonderfully. In 1952, when he was 25, Elliot went to Ecuador to share the good news of Jesus with the Quechua Indians, I hope I've got that pronunciation right, who'd never heard about Jesus. After 4 years of being in Ecuador and 4 months of trying to reach them, and several months of trying to reach, make contact with them, Elliot and four of his missionary friends were killed. I don't know how that makes you feel, but maybe you think, what a waste, just 29 years old. And didn't even get to see anyone come to know Jesus. But wonderfully, God did use Jim and his friends' obedience and sacrifice for much and very obvious good. You might think that having your husband murdered would be enough to put anyone off going to tell them about Jesus, but not Elizabeth Elliot. Incredibly, Elizabeth and her young daughter returned to those who murdered her husband and about Jesus, and they were so amazed at her love for them and her love for Jesus that despite what they had done, many of them became Christians. Here is what Elizabeth wrote about her life. The deepest things that I've learned in my own life have come from the deepest suffering, and out of the deepest waters and the hottest fires have come the deepest things I know about God. I'll just say that again. The deepest things that I've learned in my own life have come from the deepest suffering, and out of the deepest waters and the hottest fires have come the deepest things I know about God. God honours obedience to him. God is glorified when Christians live out what Jesus says here, that whoever wants to save their life will lose it, and whoever loses their life for me and the gospel will save it. And that will be true of all the Christians throughout history who have gone to unreached people groups. That will be true of all the Christians who told us the good news of Jesus. They weren't ashamed of Jesus. How will we live for Jesus? How will we show that Jesus is the most important part about us? To our friends, our neighbours, at the school gate, as we meet for a brew, down the pub, doing sports, whatever it may be, wherever God has called you to be. And just finally, as we finish with a warning from Jesus and their strong words in verse 38. If anyone is ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, the Son of Man will be ashamed of them when he comes in his Father's glory with the holy angels. They're strong words and a strong warning because of what we've seen. There's a lot at stake with what we do with Jesus. Jesus already said, pick up your cross in life as I have for you. Deny yourself as I have for you. Follow me. Live your life differently for me in my name. And I guess Jesus' warning here about not being ashamed is another way we might be able to deny ourselves and so actually we go in situations where we might feel ashamed, but God calls us not to be ashamed. If we never let anyone know that we go to church, that we're Christian, then what does that say about our love for Jesus? So let me try and give a little example of that. So my wife's called Lucy, and I love her very much. But if I never told anyone about her, if at work when people said, how's your weekend? And I changed the subject quickly to avoid having that awkward conversation that might have spent some time with her. Or if I never asked, told anyone about her when they said, oh, what's really important to your life, in your life, Steve? Then I think, rightly, that you'd be thinking that either I've at best got some serious marriage problems, or I'm embarrassed and I don't really love Lucy. How are we doing? We're showing that we're unashamed about Jesus in how we live our lives, how we speak, what we do with our weekends, with how we spend our time. I think most of the time we think that what we think will show in how we act. Actually, I think it's the other way around, isn't it? It's how we act shows what we think. So if we say we're a Christian but never show it, never talk about it to anyone, then what should that lead us to think? The Bible is clear. I'm really challenged by this. I look at my life and it's quite uncomfortable. Having said that, I don't want anyone to be discouraged here who's trusting Jesus. We will all be able to look back at our lives and see how we've been ashamed of Jesus, how we've been embarrassed, how we've ducked out of an opportunity to be bold for him. I don't think Jesus is asking for perfection, but a commitment from us to be true and loyal to him. And consider Peter, who denied Jesus 3 times. Was Peter cut off? Was Peter turned away from Jesus? No. Jesus lovingly and kindly restored Peter. So when you're ashamed of Jesus, turn back to him, say sorry, and seek to use the mistakes of the past to live, to learn from them, and to go on living for Jesus. And see how God used Peter as Peter's life went on. By Acts chapter 3, Peter's a transformed man. This is what he says in verse 19 of Acts 3. Repent then and turn to God so that your sins may be wiped out, that times of refreshing may come from the Lord. Peter fell, he was restored and forgiven by Jesus. And wonderfully, by God's grace, Peter was strengthened to be unashamed of Jesus and proclaim forgiveness that is an offer. And how we need to be unashamed of Jesus. Just look at how Jesus described this generation, adulterous and sinful. I'm not sure those around Jesus were particularly bad. It's just what we're all like. The only difference is whether we're trusting Jesus or not. And Jesus is the only one who can save this sinful and adulterous generation. Let's be unashamed of him. And Jesus is coming back. He's coming back in his Father's glory with his holy angels. Next week, we're going to see a bit more of that glory. And it's jaw-dropping. It's absolutely amazing. We won't want to be on the wrong side of Jesus. And on that day, he'll either find you knowing that you've got your judgment, either had your judgment taken by Jesus, or your judgment is still to come. That's what's at stake. So let's pray that we won't be ashamed of Jesus either. Let's pray that we'll take up our crosses, deny ourselves, and follow Jesus all the days of our lives. Let me pray for us. Heavenly Father, thank you that you first loved us. And thank you that Jesus has died for us and rescued us from our sins. And I pray for us here that we would pick up our crosses, deny ourselves, and follow Jesus. Help us to be totally devoted to Jesus and to live out unashamed our lives, our faith and love in Jesus. And might that be for your glory. Amen.